Off the Ball
with BetDAC.com for great exchange back and lay prices on every sporting event.
You're welcome back. Latest in the Champions League, Arsenal 2-0 up away to Basel. PSG 1-0 down to Ludogorets in Group B. Benfica and Napoli is 0-0. Dynamo Kiev are 2-0 up on Beşiktaş in Group C. Barcelona 1-0 up on Borussia Mönchengladbach. It's 1-0 between Manchester City and Celtic. And in Group D, Bayern Munich, courtesy of that Lewandowski free kick we just mentioned, are 1-0 up at home to Atletico Madrid. And PSV 0, FC Rostov 0 is the latest in that game. So there are the four groups ongoing this evening. We're turning to the rugby because it's Munster-Leicester this weekend. This Saturday we'll have the game live here on Off the Ball, and so we thought we'd bring you some nostalgia and reopen some old wounds, Munster fans. Leicester 15, Munster 9 was the full-time scoreline in the Millennium Stadium in Cardiff in the 2002 Heineken Cup final. And to discuss, we've Marcus Horn and Frankie Sheehan on the line. We just thought we'd relive some pain, Frankie.
Be careful together.
Munster that close to the Leicester line. Stringer puts in. Now, Neil Back seemed to hit that with his hand. It's one against the head, but Stringer went straight to the referee. Leicester get the ball off. And Stringer and his teammates still having a go at Joel Jude. Yes, it was the hand of Neil Back. No doubt about it.
When did you realise, Frankie, what had happened?
I realised immediately when the ball didn't go back at my side. And I'll be honest with you, it was such a relief to hear that it was something like that as opposed to me being the cause of this not actually happening. Because I didn't see the hand. And it was only well after that I actually realised that it had happened. But, I mean, it was just... I blame Stringer if there's someone to blame. I mean, he should have held the ball. He should have attacked your man or done something. But, you know, all this talk, though, guys, about... And the big in the last few weeks about this cynical stuff. I mean, in the name of God, I mean, we would be... if the Claw had done that for us, we'd be delighted with them, you know. But even going back to the All Blacks game without doing it, but there's been so much talk about this... Oh, they were cynical. Like, I mean, Marcus will tell you, any opportunity we got to get an advantage, whether it was running a lazy line to slow a guy down behind, whether it was collapsing a scrum because you were uncomfortable with it, whether it was taking a guy out harder than you should be taking him out and hitting him in a place you shouldn't have hit him out, this is what you do, you know what I mean? I mean, a famous one in a match is you'd roll, I mean, in Coleman Park, you'd have the ball boys drying the balls, and I'd run up to the ball boy, and if Leicester was playing, and I'd say, give me the ball, and it would be wet on the ground, and I'd take the ball, and I'd roll the ball along the ground so it would be wet by the time the other hooker gets it. Is that cynical? Yes. Do I regret it? Absolutely not when I do it again in the morning. And that's it, you know. I think we get a bit too carried away sometimes. But what Neil Back did there, it was unfortunate. I mean, it was... Obviously, people were gutted. Would we have scored definitely from it? I don't know. I don't know. Did we deserve to win it? I don't know.
Mm. Marcus, do you have any complaints as a fellow professional sports person with Neil Back taking the chance that he had?
No, not really. I agree with Frankie there. I think when you've a situation like that and you're in the moment, things are done. And I suppose that's why, you know, people were complaining about the All Blacks game. But I think that's what the officials are there for, to try and catch that and stop that. And unfortunately for us, it wasn't spotted. But, you know, you look back at the game itself, I think we didn't do enough to win it. I mean, even the scoreline itself, you know, you need to score tries to win finals. And you know, we didn't do that. We didn't do it in 2000 either. And you know, I think we learnt our lessons over the years, and there were hard lessons to learn. I think it made us that bit tougher. And maybe, like what Frankie was saying, we had to do things in other games in latter years that we had to do whatever it took to win the game. And and you know, it just hardens you up a small bit. But he wasn't liked around our parts for a long time.
No, the scoring sequence, just to jog people's memory, is that Leicester actually had two tries disallowed in the first 10 minutes or so. Munster went 6-0 up courtesy of two penalties from O'Gara, and then Jordan Murphy scored a try. So it was 6-5 at half time to Munster. And then second half, O'Gara, another penalty, 9-5. Austin Healy scored a try to make it 10-9. Leicester, the conversion, 12-9. And then Stimson with another kick, 15-9. And then there were two penalty kicks missed in the last 20 minutes or so for O'Gara. And so we finish up at 9-15 and the kneel back incident. Can I ask you, though, Frankie, about the build-up to the game? Because I saw Ronan O'Gara was speaking recently on an Irishman Abroad podcast, and he was saying that the mood in 2000 for that first final against Northampton was overly emotional. He said, we lost the 2000 Heineken Cup final because the night before we had a team meeting where we didn't control our emotions. We all just sat around in a room and we expressed what it meant to play for Munster and what tomorrow was going to be like. There were 40 adults and 38 of them were bawling, crying. It was just one of those really powerful moments. That's experience. We weren't experienced for the big occasions. We didn't know how to handle ourselves. We were drained. When 2002 came around in the Millennium Stadium against Leicester, were you different in how you prepared the night before and the build-up to that final?
Definitely, but I mean, you go back to 2000, sure, there was a lot of emotion and it wasn't the right preparation. But at the same time, you know, I mean, Ronan had kicked superbly all year for us. He was outstanding and he just had a day, and if it was one inch to the right, we would have won that day as well. Do you know what I mean? It was a ferocious effort, even though Munster didn't perform well that day, and you know, Pat Lamb with Northampton, they played extremely well. In 2002, I think we were absolutely very well prepared. I think, now go back to it as well, guys, as well. A lot of people forget this, actually. That was a Leicester team, right, when there was no salary caps, right? I know there's been salary caps since, I think, about 2008 or 9, right? There was no salary caps back then, right? And the level of player that team had was absolutely outstanding, right? Mm. So these guys were we prepared as well as we could. And I would always say that of all the finals, people say they'll always pick out the ones in Munster 2006 and 2008 as the best finals. But actually, I would say the atmosphere at this game was the best around, right? Because the reason being is it was split down the middle between Munster and Leicester supporters. Probably a few more Munster. It was probably 40,000 Munster, 30,000 Leicester and 10,000 in the middle, right? So the atmosphere, I'll never forget it. And arriving down at the ground and the bus, and it was just absolutely incredible. And I remember the game extremely well. And they had this absolutely famous mall, and I really felt it. There's a funny story actually happened to me during the game, because the deal was Healy was one of their magic men out the backs, and the deal was if we get Healy, we kind of hold on to him. So I was lucky enough at one stage I managed to tackle him and I held him down on the ground and I was whispering sweet nothings into his ear, right, and telling him get his sister to stop texting me, and his mother was great and she was doing this and that and all these little things that you do on an ongoing basis. And of course, the Munster guys then came in to give him a good sort of a shoeing, right? And but at the same time, the Leicester guys were experienced enough to know what was happening. But in the midst of all this, I nearly lost my eye, you know. And I went off, there was blood everywhere. And I went off and Jordan actually scored when I was off. And I came back on for a few minutes and then half time came. And walking off the field, and Peter Clossy put the arm around me and he turned around in his good thick Limerick accent. He says, well, he says, what happened, Joe? And I said, one of those bios is after getting me good claw, you know. How many stitches did you get? I said, I'm after getting 10. Do you see who done it to you? I said, no, claw, I didn't. You can see out of it, okay, you can. I said, I can, yeah. Because actually, I done that to you. he was so busy in showing Austin Healy, and he had learned from his previous mistakes not to look down while he was showing. That basically he managed. I was kind of part of the crossfire, but anyway, in the second half, then we got. I mean, I remember it was a big move. We got 9-5 ahead. And it was from a scrum, and it was a huge psychological boost. And then they kicked for the corner soon after, and they had it in the corner, and they had the famous mall back then, if you remember, right? And this was the real test. They scored nearly every time from this. And we gave the most almighty defensive display I ever remember from a mall. And next thing it collapsed. And I said, we've won the match. I said to myself, we have won the match. Yeah. And next thing it was passed out to Austin Healy and he skipped in under the post. It was, my God, it was just a sickener, you know.
Yeah.
And
Because the BBC, the BBC report on the day said Leicester's front row were struggling against the might of Clossy, Sheehan and John Hayes. So it certainly seems from reports that you did actually get the upper hand on this awesome scrum.
I think we did, but where we fell down badly actually, and was the line out. And I remember I have still have nightmares today looking at Ben Kay, because he seemed to know where the ball was going before I even threw it.
Sorry to interrupt. So just to set the context of that final, because I was, again, just reading about it, and Munster lost 8 of their own lineouts. I saw a piece from Gerry Thornley at the time saying it was a malaise in Irish rugby all season. Had you guys been struggling with your lineout all year?
Yeah, I think, to be fair, looking back, and as we did, and in particular in that final, I mean, we were well off, and actually at international level we were well off as well. We just didn't have, the English guys knew where the ball, they were so far ahead of us right at the time. And as I said, Ben Kay knew where the ball was going in before I even left my hands. Now, was my throwing good enough? I look back and I say, absolutely not. Were there other aspects of our line-out good enough? Absolutely not. They weren't. But actually, and Marcus said it a while ago, that match for me was the catalyst that has made Munster the line-out. The following year, the Munster line-out, we had a 93% success rate in Europe. We're the best in Europe. Toulouse were after us at 91%. Mm. And that went into the Irish line-out as well afterwards as well. And we've never had a consistent problem with a line-out since with Munster or Ireland, you know what I mean? But absolutely, I mean, it is an absolutely fair statement that we did struggle with the line-out that year. And that was one area definitely, and I'd hold my hand up there as much as anyone else to say we didn't perform. And you know what, even if we'd another week or two at the time to try and get it right, I don't think it was going to happen that year. We just needed to totally reevaluate. We went back and we just started creating whole new line-out calls. And actually the following year when we beat Leicester in Welford Road, we took about 12 of their balls against the throw. Nice. And Marcus, you'll remember that as well. That was a fantastic one. We totally turned the whole thing around. And that was, I think it was the Donegal Callan, that was his big game when he came through against Johnson and all the boys that day, you know.
So how did they know where the ball was going, and in what way were they advanced, Frankie, at the line-out?
Well, Ben Kay used to spend hours and hours and hours just analysing, studying. He'd listen to calls, he'd watch movements, he'd know triggers, he would know the way someone is standing, the way they're looking, and he'd just be able to tell from a lifter. And he was just there, and he was just doing it so often, and he was able to move before. So what he did then as well, we'd make the call based on where he was going to be defending,
right?
And then he would shift in between the ball being thrown in and that. So all of a sudden he's moved to a different place.
Right.
That would create panic. Might be the wrong word, but it's probably not a bad word either.
Yeah.
And you're throwing then, and you're Paulie or whoever's looking at me, I'm looking back, and I'm saying, what am I going to do here? If I go through with the call, I'm going to throw into his hands, and you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So there's all these different games going on in a line-out, you know what I mean?
But you must feel kind of powerless during the game to turn that tide.
Oh yeah, when it goes like that, it's very hard. It's very hard. You know what I mean? It is difficult. There's no doubt about that. It's a huge, huge mental challenge. I'd say the only other people who could really understand it are probably place kickers, maybe, and you know, golfers. I think when it goes that kind of that little mental confidence, you know what I mean?
Mm.
They say quarterbacks in NFL are supposed to be, they have the best memory loss of all time, because that's what they have to do. They have to instantly forget what they have done, because that's the only way to do it. If you start dwelling on that, it'll come all over you, you know. So
yeah, Marcus, this was a Leicester side, as Frankie says, who frankly were awesome, and they were defending champions as well. They had topped their pool and they had come through very safely. Like, did they have an aura in your eyes, this Leicester side?
Yeah, look, I think so. I think they did. Well, for me anyway, I mean, I had the beauty of, I suppose, watching a lot of it from the sideline that day, but I think the difference between the two finals for us in 2000 was that Northampton, funnily enough, probably wouldn't have been, like ourselves at the time, wouldn't have been regarded as a powerhouse. They were a strong team in England at the time, but I suppose at European standards, there were two teams that got to a final that maybe people traditionally wouldn't have expected. So we probably felt in 2000 that we had as good a chance as, you know, as any team does in a final, I suppose, but especially against Northampton. And but the final in 2002, I think, when you were going up against a Leicester who have a tradition like they have, and we knew them very well, and we knew a lot of their players. I think there definitely was that bit more of an aura, and even though we had the experience of 2000 behind us, I think the challenge, to be fair, was probably a lot more, even though we did lose both finals. But I think, to be honest, it was definitely a star-studded side and a team that, you know, on their day can do a lot of damage to teams. So, you know, there was definitely, I felt maybe there was a different approach. And looking back in them years later, I just think the Northampton one is one that maybe we could have won a lot more than maybe the one in 2002. And I think,
right.
But having said that, I think, you know, when you put something like what happened with Neil back in with us, we could have stole something out of the game right at the end. But, you know, again, you just put all these things down to experience. And I think for all of us, and I'd agree with Frankie, is that the definitely 2002 reinforced it with a lot of guys that were staying on. It was the end of the road for one or two, but a lot of guys that were staying on, that we were capable of winning it, and that we, you know, we were putting all these things down to experience. And I think there was a maturity there amongst the players to sort of learn from that experience. And, you know, I definitely think from a day that we lost out in the line-out, when we played them again in Welford Road, it was the one thing that won the game for us was the dominance of their line-out and nullifying the likes of Martin Johnson on their home ground. So unless you learn from these things, there's no point in going through them, you know, and I think we certainly did that.
At 6-5 up, Marcus, I know, and again, I know you got on in the second half. At 6-5 up, can you remember the dressing room? Because they're obviously disrupting the line-out and they've had two tries disallowed, but still Munster are winning by a point. Was there a sense then that you were in trouble, or what was the mood? Can you remember?
I think it was 9-5 when Marcus came on, was it?
No, I think, it was years later that Claw actually said, give out about Declan Kidney taking him off. I think he was having a few beers at the time, and his wife Anna was telling me, the reason we lost that game is because they took Claw off. But they were telling me the story, and I don't think they realised the impact that had on me at the time. But that was that was typically Claw for you. But no, I think you know, the fact that we were ahead and the scoreline was so tight, I think we felt we had a chance. But I think from my memory of being on the bench with the other subs, is just that we just weren't doing enough. And I think you're right. There was a couple of tries scored that were disallowed.
Yeah.
And it was worrying that we were being cut apart in defence. Not that easily, but you know that, you know, I think it's like soccer players say, when they create chances, it gives them confidence. And I think certainly Leicester had great confidence from that, even though they were behind by a small margin. They felt that, you know, that they could score, and they knew how to infiltrate our defence. And you know, the tries they did score, it was just, you know, really, really good lines of running. You know, Jordan's try was, you know, very well taken. And I think, you know, that was the worry for us all along, that we just weren't doing enough during the game to be out ahead. And you know, even though we had the two kicks, there's always those memories of 2000 that, you know, we have to score tries to win the game, you know.
Do you get out of town that night, Frankie, or stick around?
We flew back that night, as far as I can remember. We normally did that on the night. I think there was a big, huge log jam, if I remember correctly, in Cardiff Airport, and which was not untypical of that. But we always did prefer to kind of get back home on the night, all right, you know what I mean? I don't remember exactly what we did on the night or whatever, but we certainly drowned our sorrows for a good few days after it anyway, you know?
Yeah. By the way, we had Neil back on the show last year, and invariably the you know what moment came up. Here was his take on how he feels about it now.
I think we should be comfortable with the idea that, say, Neil's a cheat.
What about the question, would you do it again?
Who's saying yes? The Leinster fans out there saying,
look, with all things, there are positive and negative.
Actually, there's an equal and opposite reaction.
Well, I'll start with the positives. Peter Stringer is a fantastic player for Ireland, and now he's playing it at Bath. And he's playing 12, 13 years later, and he's never let that happen to him again. So in terms of...
You're welcome, is it?
So in terms of skill development, I have helped not only Munster, Ireland, and Bath. So he's a better player for it. There's always a downside to it, though, because, you know, I look back at it and think, Jesus, if you hadn't done that, you wouldn't have to polish two Honeycomb Cup winners' medals.
Yeah. He's not wrong.
No, he's you know, it's something that I suppose he'll be remembered for, and this neck of the woods. But I think I'd agree with Frankie, you know, if any of us had the chance to do it, we would have done it too, you know, and we'd be shining those medals, you know.
Well, there's a famous clip, because we got it on YouTube earlier, and the next clip down from it, because, you know, clips are always related on YouTube, is Alan Quinlan doing it against Ulster for Munster, and Donal Lenihan laughing and, you know, saying, well, look, these things happen and, you know, it's the way the game goes. A question I want to put to you was, did you guys confront him that day, or in the dressing room, or does it come up that day on the pitch in any great way? Can you remember?
I mean, I just know I never had any issue with it, and any supporter, any media person that said it to me at the time, I dismissed it and said that's part of the game.
So even on the day, even on the day at the time, even in the heat of the moment, you didn't feel it was something you should go, you were going to confront him about?
No, absolutely not. I mean, I was in the scrum. I think it was in the dying minutes. Like, wasn't there? It was at the last minute of the game. So
pretty
there wasn't.
Much, yeah.
I didn't even know what had happened at that stage, and you know, it wasn't our issue. But I mean, look, he did what he did. I think Marcus is right. I think, did we really deserve it on the day? Mm. Maybe not. Was there any guarantee we were definitely going to score from that? I mean, that's the other thing. I mean, we could have just got bundled into touch after it, so yeah. It didn't necessarily mean we were going to win, you know. So, I know Neil, and I think he's a good guy, and you know, the best of luck to him. It was disappointing, but we lost fair and square, and I think we did learn. I mean, you look at the 2008 final when Fabian Palouse ended up giving Alan Quinlan a little boot in the backside. You know what I mean? Mm. I mean, this is where the experience and the learning comes in. The shoe was somewhat on the other foot there, and there was a penalty. You know what I mean? So, that's what it's about. It's about learning and moving on, and probably the fact that, okay, I know I don't buy into this thing that you have to lose one or two to win. I don't think you do, but certainly the real Munster success story started, I think, after that. You know what I mean? And where it got Munster today, you know.
Yeah.
When we got rid of Claw, everything started.
A final point then. It's great getting your memories of 0-2. What are you making of what's going on at the moment in Munster, Marcus, in the midst of obviously incredibly difficult times for everybody down there?
Yeah, it's obviously been a tough couple of months, and I think... you know, the players have reacted really well. I think, you know, I really felt from on the Saturday against Glasgow, and you know, there's a lot of young lads that really grew up that day for Munster, and I think you know, it was something that Axel was always striving for with the players, was for them to realise the importance of the Munster team to the Munster people. And and, you know, I think he was always talking about trying to get the crowd back to Thomond Park, and, you know, to get them shouting the way they do, and that Munster roar and that Thomond roar. Mm. And to see that coming back and not wilt in the last few weeks either, I think, you know, there's been good travelling support as well. And, you know, some of the results they've had since are just... you know, at the start of the season, to be brutally honest, as a big Munster fan, now, you know, you mightn't have given them a chance up in Ravenhill or in Glasgow last week, or, you know, even against the Ospreys at home. It was, you know, they were tough games, and there's a resilience there now in the team that is fantastic to watch. Mm. and you know, you kind of get a buzz for this weekend where, you know, on paper, you probably say that Leicester should, you know, at the start of the season, we were saying these two games are probably going to be very difficult for this Munster team. But you know, there's a special aura around the team now and the supporters, and I certainly wouldn't like to be betting against them. You know,
I presume you've seen something similar, Frankie.
Well, you're talking about betting. I mean, last week I looked at the odds, and Munster were 20-1. To win the Champions Cup, and I think that was a brilliant bet. I'll be honest with you. What has happened, this transformation of the Munster team is sensational, and they're showing. I think Donal Lennon after the first week and said that this is going to run out in Belfast next week, but it didn't, and it's continuing to go. So absolutely, like Marcus. But the big game, of course, don't forget, is Frankie Aug is playing for the Cork Con under-11s against Gary Owen at half-time, and that's going to be the really big one now. And this is the future guys coming through. No, but it is a good one. I mean, the two bogey games for Munster over the years, and Marcus would tell you this as well, would be Glasgow away and Ulster away. Mm. And here are two wins that Munster have got, last-minute ones, with under-strength teams. I mean, I think it's absolutely phenomenal what they've done. And it's galvanising Munster. And there's a huge surge. And as you said, I saw people at one of the matches in the Ospreys there, and I saw emotion that I hadn't seen for 7 or 8 years. It was just back. People were just... They could feel they were so happy again, and it's all down to, as sad as Anthony, who was a very good friend of all of ours, and Marcus as well. But I mean, to go out the way he did and leave such a remarkable legacy, and I mean, this in 10, 15 years we could be looking back at this and call it, there'll be some term with the Anthony Foley time when it turned at that time, and to leave that legacy behind is just incredible as well, you know.
Yeah. Frankie, thanks very much for joining us. CEO, of course, as well at Pendulum Summit. Marcus, thanks a million for giving us your memories of 0-2, lads. And we've got live commentary of Munster-Leicester this Saturday. Keith Wood, Eddie O'Sullivan and Gavin Duffy will be joining Dave. It's a 3:15 start on Saturday. We've also got Ulster against Claremont with Oisin, Andy Dunn and Paddy Wallace. So lots of rugby on the show, live rugby on the show on Saturday.
Off the Ball with BetDaq.com, the sports betting exchange. Serious about sport 24/7. Every season, every sport, every team.